Hello, friends, and thank you for checking out this episode of Crime Nerds. The case today is about three friends that set out on a day of shopping at the mall just a few days before Christmas, but they were never seen again. A mysterious letter showed up, their car was found, and scattered witnesses over the years provided some information. I'm your host, Coy, and this is the story of Rachel, Renee, and Julie, also known as the Fort Worth Missing Trio. It's estimated that there are currently just under a million people living in Fort Worth, Texas. But back in 1974, the population was significantly smaller, with just under 400,000 people. In the early 2000s, it was voted as one of America's most livable communities. Back in 1963, President John F. Kennedy arrived in Fort Worth. He had breakfast, and then he proceeded to Dallas, where he was assassinated later that day. But on December 23rd, 1974, something else would happen that would keep this town on everyone's mind for years to come. The three friends that are in this story are Mary Rachel Trilica, who is 17 years old, Lisa Renee Wilson, who is 14 years old, and then there was Julie Mosley, who was only 9 years old. Rachel and Renee, they were very close friends. Julie was the little sister to Lisa's 15-year-old boyfriend, who also lived right across the street. On the morning of December 23, 1974, Rachel and Renee were going Christmas shopping. Julie begged the girls for her to be able to go with them because she didn't want to spend the day alone. They told her that she would need to get permission from her mother, Renee. Julie rushed into the house to Renee, and I'm sure she was just so excited to spend the day at the mall with the older girls. Originally, Renee said no. She told Julie that she didn't have any money to spend and to just stay home. Julie told her about how she didn't want to spend the day alone. She wasn't trying to spend any money. She just didn't want to be alone and wanted to spend time with those girls. So Renee told her she could go, but she had to be home by 6. But that didn't seem like it was going to be an issue because Renee had a Christmas party that night and she wanted to be back home by 4 so she could start getting ready for it. The girls stopped at a surplus store in Fort Worth to pick up some items that Renee had waiting for her on layaway. Then they headed to the Seminary South Shopping Center. As the three girls went from store to store around the mall, they were seen by multiple people, people that were going about their lives having no idea that they would later be witnesses in a police investigation. When the girls weren't home by 4, their parents began to worry. The worry grew more and more as every minute passed. By 6 p.m., the parents of the girls were at the Seminary South Shopping Center looking for them. They found the girls' car parked on the upper level of the parking lot of Sears. There were 3 bags from the stores in the mall that were inside the car, so they believed that the girls had made it back to the car at some point. The parents of the girls stayed in the parking lot all night, waiting for the girls to return, thinking that maybe they went off with some other friends or got lost, but that they would return to the car. When they never returned, they reported the girls missing to the Fort Worth Police Department. Originally, the police department presumed that the girls were runaways. There were no signs of foul play. There were no witnesses to them going missing in the middle of the day at a shopping center. The following day, the first odd thing happened in this case. The first odd thing other than them missing. Rachel's husband, Tommy, received a letter in the mail that was supposedly sent by Rachel. The envelope was addressed to Thomas Trilica, and I hope I'm pronouncing his last name right. It's T-R-L-I-C-A. And the letter said, "I know I'm going to catch it, but we had to get away. We're going to Houston. See you in about a week. The car is in Sears' upper lot. Love, Rachel." There were a few weird things with this letter. First, Rachel never called Tommy Thomas. The letter was written in pen, and the address on the envelope was in pencil. The other thing is that Rachel's name appeared to have been misspelled, having an I in her name instead of an E, and then the E had been written on top of the I. Another thing, Houston is a 4-hour drive south of Fort Worth. So how would they get there by leaving the car? There was a postage stamp on the letter showing the zip code of where it was sent from. The issue was that one of the numbers on it wasn't very clear. So it was either sent from Ellisville, Texas, or Weatherford, Texas. But that wouldn't even line up with going to Houston, because Houston is south, Ellisville was 2 hours west, and Weatherford was 30 minutes west of Fort Worth. So there's a lot of weird and odd things going on with this letter. How Tommy's addressed, the location it's sent from, misspelling of Rachel's own name, that makes it seem like this letter's not from Rachel at all. None of the parents believed that the girls had run off on their own. Renee's mother, Judy, also said, "No 9-year-old is going to run off 2 days before Christmas, and everybody knows that." The families of the girls continued searching and passing out missing person flyers all over the entire state of Texas, and reaching out to newspapers across the country. They poured every possible ounce of effort into finding their daughters. Eventually, tips started to come in. One young man said that he was friends with Rachel and that he bumped into the three girls at a record store in the mall. He said that when he saw them, they spoke briefly, and it seemed like there was another person that may have been with their group. The families ended up hiring a private investigator named John Swain. In April 1975, John received a tip that the girls had been killed in Port Lavaca, Texas, which don't know if I'm saying that right either, L-A-V-A-C-A. But that is also about 5 hours south of Fort Worth. John went there with about 100 volunteers to search for the area, but there were no signs of the girls. In August of 1975, John found out that a guy who worked at a store that Rachel applied for a job at had been making a bunch of obscene phone calls to people. The man was using his position at the store to get information about young women to make the calls to them or their references. At least 6 women came forward about this, but he was never connected to the disappearance of these 3. A year later, an oil drilling crew in Brazoria County, Texas, a little south of Houston, came across 3 skeletons. At first, it seemed like this was going to be the girls. How many sets of 3 people would go missing and be found together? But it was confirmed that one was a teenage boy and the other 2 were females. Neither were Rachel, Lisa, or Julie. In 1979, John died of a drug overdose. It was believed to be a suicide and a part of a bad divorce that he was going through. In his will, he requested that all of his work files be destroyed, and it was honored. So anything that he had on this case was completely gone. Brazoria County, Texas seems to have been a dangerous place at this time, because in 1981, more human remains were found in a swamp. Those were also deemed not to be any part of the girl's case. Over the years, police investigators, the family of the girls, and volunteers have searched hundreds and hundreds of roads, back roads, creeks, lakes, and nothing has come up. In 2001, a homicide detective assigned to this case said that they believed the girls left the mall with someone that they knew and that they trusted, but ultimately that there was more than one person involved in their disappearance. There were a few other tips that come in. None of them had ever quite led anywhere, or that they were really able to be verified of having any real value. One was someone told a random employee at the mall that they saw 3 girls being forced into a pickup truck at the mall. Another was that a man saw 1 girl being forced into a van. That tip also didn't come forward until 1981. Police were never able to track down the person who said that they saw the 3 girls being forced into a truck. But just for a general rule, if you ever see anyone being forced into any sort of vehicle, just go ahead and call the cops and let them sort that out. Don't tell some random person or wait 7 years to tell someone. All but one of the parents of these young women have passed away, not ever knowing what truly happened to their children. Their families are still not giving up. In 2023, the Texas Center for Missing and the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children worked with the Clear Channel to put up billboards across Texas. Terry, who was dating Renee at the time, feels a world of guilt. In an interview in 2023 with the Dallas-Fort Worth Channel 5, he said that Renee wanted him to go to the mall with them, but he didn't want to go. Then his sister Julie begged to go, and she went. They drove away together, and he never saw them again. The Clear Channel, which owns the billboards, is hoping that these billboards will bring awareness to the case to millions of people who may know something or may come forward with information. No information is too small. At the end of the day, it's been 50 years since these three young women went shopping 2 days before Christmas. Something bad happened, and they have not been seen or heard from since. The Fort Worth Police Department is asking for any help from anyone who may know something. They can be reached at 817-335-4222 or by emailing coldcase@fortworthpd.com. This is going to bring us to a conclusion of this episode of Crime Nerds. Thank you for listening.